Sean named Mordecai.
Whoopee! Who was an official in the king's court. His cousin, whom he adopted, was among the beautiful maidens of Shushan brought to the palace for the contest to be the queen. Her name was Esther, which actually was Hadassah. She's so pretty. Soon thereafter, Mordecai overheard two servants plotting to kill the king. He told Hadassah, who reported to Xerxes, the criminals were punished and the deed was recorded in the king's book. Sometime after that, the king promoted Haman. All those in the palace court knelt and bowed before that bad man, except for one, Mordecai. And the reason he wouldn't bow down is because he told him, because I'm the Jew. Is there more to it? We could end the story there. We don't bow down. Right? We don't bow down. So the bad man cast lots, which in Hebrew is Purim, which is the name of the holiday, to determine the day on which he was going to have all the Jews killed. That day turned out to be the 13th day of the month of Adar. Haman persuaded the king to go along with his evil plan, saying, there is a certain people scattered throughout the province of your kingdom who have their own laws and customs, and they are a threat to you. To further convince Xerxes, Haman offered to donate 10,000 silver coins to the royal treasury, and the king believed the evil lie, and he issued a decree sealed with the royal stamp to kill the Jews, young and old, children and women on the 13th day of Adar, and to keep, you could keep all their possessions. So that is the plot against the Jews. So later on, there was a night that King Xerxes could not sleep. To pass the time, he had his record book brought to him, and he read of the time that Mordecai had saved his life by revealing the plot to kill him. And so he says, what honor did I give Mordecai? And the servant replied, nothing has been done for him. So just then, Haman came to speak to the king about hanging the good guy or man. But before Haman could present his evil plan, Xerxes asked him to suggest a way to honor someone who pleases the king. Thinking that the king meant to honor him, Haman told the king that that man should be dressed in royal palace robes and given the finest royal horse, and he should be led through the city square with someone announcing, this is the man who the king wishes to honor. And so the king says, yes, quick, do this for Mordecai. And Haman had a meltdown. That's actually not in the text. So now we have another feast, and Hadassah pleads with the king, let my life be granted as well as my people's, for they are condemned to die by the hand of a great enemy. And the king asks certain, well, who is the great enemy? Queen Hadassah, you're so pretty. Your Majesty, it is none other than Haman. Furious, the king ordered his servants to end Haman's life on the very gallows that Haman built for Mordecai. Then the king gave Hadassah and Mordecai all of his possessions, all of the bad guy's possessions, and he told Mordecai to issue a new decree. So Mordecai wrote in the name of the king that on the 13th of Adar, the Jews were permitted to fight back and destroy all those who might attack them and could take their possessions. So this announcement was traveled all throughout Shushan, and then on the 13th day of Adar, the Jews were victorious. Many Persians were slain in Shushan and in the provinces throughout the kingdom, included in those slain were the 10 sons of Haman. And the Jews took all of their possessions and property. And then Mordecai and Hadassah proclaimed that the Jews of Persia should observe the 14th and 15th days of Adar every year to remember this story. And that's what we're doing. Amen. And then the bad guy Haman was hanging. The bad, evil, bad guy, Haman, in our story, is just left hanging. Okay. Hang in there. Then Xerxes appointed Mordecai to be the second command in all of Persia, and Mordecai was highly regarded by the Jews, for he continually looked after the king's welfare. And that concludes the reading of the Megillah, sort of. That's an abridged version. But what a great story. Now, a little bit more to the story is that Mordecai comes from the family of Saul, and from the tribe of Benjamin. And Saul is, remember, lost his kingship because he spared Agag the Amalekite. Now, Haman is descended from Agag the Amalekite. So way back 500 years earlier, there was Saul sparing an Amalekite, and then Samuel came and killed Agag. And from Saul then comes Mordecai, but from Agag comes Haman. And so you have the same story being repeated centuries and centuries later. But this time the outcome is correct because Mordecai does not bow down, as it were, but he follows God. Okay? And so why were the Amalekites so evil? Is because they attacked when Israel came out of Egypt. There were the slow ones, the old, the sick, and the handicapped ones lagged behind, and the Amalekites came up and attacked and killed them. And so they are the cowards. They are the cowards, okay? And so God said, you must blot their name out and never mention their name. So this is why when we read the bad guy's name in Judaism, you make noise with groggers and hiss because you are blotting out the name, following the commandment of God to blot out the name. So now we have this Benjamite like Saul, Mordecai, and he does it right. He won't bow down to Agag and or Haman, as you would say. And Mordecai helps defeat the Jew-hating Haman. And so Saul's family comes full circle and does it right centuries later. So it's a cool story because it's like a rerun. So God had ordered all the Amalekites to die, and so we have the Genesis 12:3 in effect, because I will bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel. And so this is part of the story, and Genesis 12:3 is part of the Brit Avraham, which is still in effect today, okay? And there's a lot of people on the wrong end of Genesis 12:3 in these last days, and that judgment will eventually fall on them. But for those that stand with Israel, even in these difficult days, when it's getting politically incorrect and you may come under some persecution for it, there is the blessing of Genesis 12:3 reserved for you. Maybe not all in this life, but in the next life, ma'od, amen, which is much. We have that. Okay, now we have modern Amalekite cowards today, and they are called terrorists. Terrorists aren't armies that fight soldiers. Terrorists are murderers, and they only murder when it is a defenseless victim. So you're not going up and doing terrorism at an airport against an army. You're blowing up people with suitcases, standing in line for your flight, okay? So this is terrorist. Islamic Hamas or something like that terrorizing the whole world today. And Al-Qaeda and ISIS is... But what are all of these people doing today? They're building gallows. That's what their hate is doing against the Jew. They're building gallows. But how does the story end? The Jew gets paraded with honor through the streets, and the person building the gallows hangs on it himself. So another interesting point from the book of Hadassah here is the timing of it. The death of the Jews was to be on the 13th of Adar. But look at when the edict was issued is on the 13th of the first month. So if it was issued on the 13th of the first month, what is the 14th of the first month? For the 14th of the month of Nisan is Passover. So they were told that they're all going to die while they were preparing to celebrate Passover, which is the celebration of escaping terrorism or persecution and becoming free. So on their celebration of freedom, they are told that you are not free, you're going to die. So then they had 11 months to wait for their death. And so it would be a long 11 months. But in this 11-month period, the providence of God is at work. The providence is the theme of the book of Hadassah because it's the only book of the Bible where the name God is not in it. When Mordecai said, help will come from another place if you don't help to Hadassah, this is the closest we get to God. Help will come from another place. That's as close as you get. But Purim is about the providence of God, okay? And so Mordecai is standing up to the evil one, and Hadassah enters the king's presence. I would like to say today that a lot of people want to say that the church is Esther for such a time as this. But the picture is much better if you say that the church is Mordy. Because here you have the Hadassah is the Jew in the story that is going to go into the king's presence. But she's not really being a believing Jew. So Mordy has to come. And what is he doing? He's watching out for her at the gates. So what is the church doing today? We're watching out at the gate for Israel. And so we are the ones telling Israel, you can go into your king. The scepter will be extended to you and you will not die. You can go into your king and you can support the Abrahamic covenant and you will be protected by God if you do that. We are the Mordecais that encourage our Jewish friends to be the who they are to be, the Jewish people, and to occupy the land or rebuild the temple and possess the land and rebuild the temple and call on Messiah. So we are the watchmen on the walls that comfort my people, says the Lord. We do Isaiah 40, verse 1. Tell her, your God reigns. What do to our Jewish friends? We tell them, your God reigns. You don't even say it's my God. It's your God. Your God, we get included. We're worshiping your God, but it's your God that reigns. It's your God first. See, that verse is about the church speaking to Israel. And then the watchman on the wall, you who call on the Lord, that would be us. Give yourselves no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise in all the earth. That's Isaiah 62. And then in Jeremiah 31:6, it says, a day when watchmen cry out, come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. And the watchman word there in Jeremiah 31:6, as David Rubin, I think, mentioned here, is the watchman word is the netzer word. Notzrim. In Israel today, what is the church called? The Notzrim. The watchmen's. And so we are the watchmen's. We are at the gate. We are the one telling Hadassah, your God reigns. You can go in there. Be who you are. And so we are the encouragers. We aren't Hadassah, she is Israel. Okay? And so it's a fascinating story for us today, and there is never been a time where Mordecais are more needed than today. Okay? So what did Mordy do? Hadassah was an orphan. She is alone in the world and nobody wants her. Hello. Who will adopt her and watch out for her and even send her offerings? You see what your name is? Your name is Mordecai. Your name is Mordecai. You are a Netzer. Okay, and so it's a great story, and it's similar story to 1948, because in 1948 Alfred Dreyfus was doing the Alfred Dreyfus trial was going on, and Theodore Herzl was a newspaper writer covering the story of the trial of the French general who's a Jew, and they were railroading him out of the country and shaming him by lies. Because why? Because he was a Jew. And he was a great general for France. And so Theodore Herzl was a Jewish writer covering the trial, and he says to himself, it is no matter how much we serve the country we're in, we will always be eventually rejected and hated because we're a Jew. And so we really need our own place to live. This is the birth of modern Zionism. And he said 50 years from now, you could see a state of Israel. And 50 years after the Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland in 1898 was to the year 1948, the birth of Israel. And so we had Alfred Dreyfus' trial going on. He was like Hadassah, and Theodore Herzl was like Mordecai, right? Okay, so anyway, these are the points of Purim, and we won't need to go any farther on that. Here's a list of providence. Concerning providence, and there's providence operating in your life today. Providence is always operating in your lives. But in this story, Vashti gets kicked out, the first queen. Xerxes just happens to need a new queen. Hadassah gets picked because she's good looking. And Mordy just happens to hear the plot. And Xerxes can't sleep just by chance. And so they just happen to open the annals, which probably was 2,000 pages. And he just happens to turn to the part about Mordy. And so then the scepter gets extended. And King agrees to Hadassah's plan. Haman just happens to show up, has to lead Mordecai around town, builds his own gallows. King sides with Hadassah, writes another edict. Jews win big time. Haman is left hanging. So why did Haman hate God's people? And the answer is the same reason today. Why does the Amalekites or the Arabs or the Muslims hate God's people? And it's because, and they hate God's people, both the people of the book, both the Saturday people and the Sunday people, as they call it, because we're both people of the book. And why is it? It's because we don't bow down. This is really at the root of the hatred, is the Jew worships Hashem only. And the world is constantly trying to get the church to bow down to other things, and the world is constantly trying to get the Jew to bow down to other things, but they do not bow down. Rome hated the Jew because they would not assimilate into the Roman Empire. And they're just, what is with these people that believe in just one God anyway? See, they believe, and so they won't bow down. And so the hate of this not bowing down is what builds the gallows. And so that day is coming where they will first get humiliated, and then they'll get dead. The Jews will be honored, and their Messiah will be king forever. And so the Muslims need to switch sides like Walid Shubat did. They need to read the true book and say, like Walid did, this book is supernatural. and I'm on the wrong side. And so he switched sides, and his family immediately put death threats on his life. And he has a million death threats today on his life. But anyway, isn't it a great time to live? So as you see the hatred coming at you, and you see how the world goes, like in the Israel update, how everything is against the Jew, it is the story coming true again. And we don't have, we're upset about it, but listen, we have to rejoice that God has allowed us to stand at the gate and be Mordecai. And what a blessing. I mean, it's going to be a blessing for a long time for us. Amen. So are you happy? Celebrate Purim. Amen. Whoopee! Hug Sameach, Mordecai! Oh my. I love Purim. Yavarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yeir Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yisau Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim leka shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to even be gracious unto you, and lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, the coming King of Israel, hallelujah, soon. And you all said, Amen. And that Jesus, the Messiah, Lord God, He is the Jew. Amen. Hag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.